This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! Time for the post-game tailgate. Wake up, Nick Duke! Alright, you son of a bitch. We love you, Nicky. Welcome to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. It is the home of the flamethrower. And speaking of flamethrower, we are now post-mortem. We are now in a new season, if you will, of World Wrestling Entertainment, usually how it works post-WrestleMania. Things are fresh, things are revitalized. And did the two TV shows show that revitalization this week as well? As they pretty much own the city of Orlando from pretty much Wednesday till Tuesday night. And now we're back to our regular groove, although we got 4 weeks till the next pay-per-view, so a good build chance for Raw. Raw gets the next pay-per-view. We got a lot to talk about. We will not, admittedly, be as long as we were in the last main event. Of course, that was our mega preview. Be normal length tonight. But we got a lot to talk about nonetheless. Let me bring in, got most of our crew tonight. We will have one extra joining us a little bit later on. But let me bring in, of course, my right-hand man here on the main event. He is the greatest of all time. He is the GOAT, Mr. Jason Greenhouse.
I just hope that there's not a fuck you Greeny chant that starts tonight.
No, we're going to talk about that tonight because we're going to talk about the limits of fans. Because in my opinion, the whole they pay to get in, that only goes so far. We'll talk about that as well. Greeny, always a pleasure, brother. Also joining us, he's been very busy. I think he's been on Place to Be Nation more in the last week than he probably had in the previous year, and that's my fault, but he's going to be on much more because he's also a GOAT, Mr. Johnny Reckless. John, how are you?
What's up, guys?
Yes, sir.
You know, I'll already start. I totally disagree with you on that one.
That's quite all right. Well, that's because you hate the guy, but that's all right. But I don't care. We're going to fuck. Well, then we'll have a good debate. You and I haven't had a nice, healthy debate in a while since I thought Foley's books were too expensive, and then I realized why. Anyway, Johnny, always a pleasure, brother. Also, I just like to abuse this guy because he doesn't work hard enough anyway, so he's got to be on every show. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Sorry, I got to bail. I realized I did a podcast last week. That's my monthly quota, man.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yes. Rank and File presents the top 10 things I hate about Jordan Duncan.
Will it help if I tell you that I'm probably going to be Team Scott on this crowd debate tonight?
Would you believe? You sound like Get Smart for a minute. Would you believe 2 tin cans and a PBR? All right, Greeny, who's next to me? JD, pleasure as always. We will have one more join us, someone who was at the Citrus Bowl on Sunday. Hopefully he'll be joining us a little bit later on in the program. All right, guys, we won't go, you know, balls out on the whole, on everything pre-WrestleMania. We covered that extensively, of course, last week on our WrestleMania preview special. And then, of course, Greeny, Johnny, and I did the NXT TakeOver reaction show. Check that out. If you haven't watched NXT TakeOver yet, watch it and then listen to us. It's a pretty good hour listen. Johnny and Greeny and I broke it down and looked ahead in NXT, which we'll also do tonight as well. And then Sunday. And we thank, I was not there, but we thank Place to Be Nation for the awesome tailgate. I think there was 167 people there. I don't think it was that many, but it was a good crew that went down. Among the dignitaries, of course, my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, the Cowboy, D'Amato. He did it schlong style. We had, Nick Duke, Greg Phillips. Jesus Christ.
Puking Todd Weber.
Puking Todd Weber. Mark Clare. What's
his? I believe I saw Russell Sellers.
Russell
photo.
Sellers was. I think the Hard Traveling Fanboys actually did a fucking show.
They did
in the hotel.
They did.
So Nick from couldn't have been that hammered, unless he was like a marionette puppet and Greg could open
Pete.
His.
Speaking of hammered, how about Pete?
Pete, yes, Pete. I'll be. I'll be
passed out in the pre-show, but he was there.
Passed out in the pre-show and the whole show. So anyway, we had a great contingent of Place to Be Nation, and we're already looking ahead. We got two huge pay-per-views coming up down. Actually, conceivably, we could have three in a four-month span in terms of Place Be Nation contingent, because December's TLC is in Boston, I believe. January, the Royal Rumble's in Philly. We know that's a foregone conclusion. And then, of course, we're already talking about WrestleMania 34 next year in Andrew Reich's backyard. I'm staying at his house. Fuck that shit. Fuck hotels. You know, I want the hammock up. You know, I want the bad Wi-Fi. You know, I want the basketballs. I want everything. I want to be the ultimate house guest for Mr. Reich next April. But, gentlemen, that's next year. Let's talk about Sunday. JD, I'll start with you. And the good thing about this discussion right now is we all watched it on TV. Greeny, you and I were together with the doctor and with Armento and the yard gnome there. So it's pretty much you and I and the oddities. You, me, Dr. G, and the vaudevillains. It was pretty much the three of us.
PTBN's
whack. Yeah, you, me, Dr. G,
and the vaudevillains.
Who's
Golga?
Who's Golga? I think Armento is. He's a little rounder. I don't know who. None of us are big enough to be Silva. Rotella could be Luna. He probably would wish he had dreads or or beads. Anyway, so we watched a live. Of course, JD, you were at home, and obviously, Johnny, you were at our friend's house. I came a little late from work. But here's the thing. Let's talk about the show in general. Johnny, give me three general observations before you break down some individual topics. What were your three overall observations of the show in general?
Well, the first observation is they need to do something about the length. It's a marathon. You know, at this point, it's just too long. It's not an absolute complaint, but you're a little drained by the end. The other observation is, because I was mulling this over, is the match order. And I've tried to rearrange it a couple times, and I think they got it right. There was really no other order you could go in. And the third is obvious, is that ramp was just too long for Goldberg.
He tried. All right, JD, give me two or three general observations.
Sure. How about this? I'll give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think the good is, comparing it to last year's WrestleMania, I think they fixed a lot of the major complaints that people had. I mean, lengthwise, it's almost the same show, but this is kind of the thing coming out from everybody, is that it didn't feel the same length. I mean, it's still long, like Johnny said, and that's going to be my bad, is that I'll get to that in a second. But, you know, last year's show was so horribly spaced out and timed and paced, like that half an hour Rock with the flamethrower segment and all that stuff. They got rid of a lot of that stuff. It seemed like they went right from match to match to match, because that's like what some people have been talking about, is, you know, yeah, it's a long show, but what could they have cut? You know, like, outside of straight out cutting an entire match, there wasn't a lot of, like, needless filler. I mean, I guess the concert or something like that, but I think something like that, when you're there that long, you need to do for the live crowd to give them a time to get up and move around. So I think the good thing is they did fix a lot of the problems that I had with last year's show in terms of how they laid it out. But the bad is the length. And here's why I say that. Yeah, it didn't feel as long as last year's show, but it still kind of hovers like a dark cloud over, in the sense that, like, somebody made a great point online, and I don't remember who it was. It was in one of our group chats. You know, WrestleMania season, a lot of people like to marathon all the manias. And when you get to 32 and 33 back-to-back, that is going to be a chore moving forward. That's like 10 hours combined to watch two shows. So, and WWE is not the type to scale back. I don't think that this is going to be a two-year experiment, and then it's going to go back. I think it's just going to get longer and longer from here on out. So I think even though they may be spacing out well, I still think it's just too long. And I think the ugly is coming out of the show, I think a lot of people worked hard. I think a lot of people looked good. But, man, Bray Wyatt stunk, and I think it might be time for people to reassess if Bray Wyatt's any good or not, because he had a real stinker of a match. And it seems like whenever he's on the real big stage, he kind of seems to do that. And I wonder, you know, when do we start placing the blame on him?
Interesting.
Because I think that was – yeah, I think that was maybe the worst match of the show.
All right. I like all of those things, and I'm going to break – I'm going to give my thoughts on it and open up a discussion. Greeny, what were your general observations?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of good ones first. First off, Orlando had a lot more organization getting people in the building than Dallas did last year. By the time the first kickoff match started with Neville and Austin Aries, the place was about 75% full, which is a big improvement from last year in Dallas, where it was about 30% full. To piggyback off what JD said too, like Bray Wyatt, you know, is a guy who busted his butt all year, and you know, on the grand stage, you know, doesn't get his, you know, his big spotlight. Guys like him, guys like Braun Strowman, guys like Sami Zayn. Now, you know, Sami and Braun were both in the Battle Royal, but they were both gone early. And it's like, you know, wow, you know, these guys bust our ass every single night, every week, and they get tossed 6 minutes into a Battle Royal on the pre-show. The length, I mean, some people do need to get up really early for work. You know, a show ending about 10:45, 11 o'clock, you know, is fine. But come on, going to midnight, 12:15, that's a little ridiculous. You know, I mean, I understand it's their network. They don't have to deal with pay-per-view, you know, cutoff times and satellite times and all that stuff anymore. But come on, you know, cut some people some slack. You can fit everything into 3 hours. I mean, maybe 11:15 or so. But also, yeah, there was no dead weight and no downtime, really. No backstage segments, no, you know, silly celebrity stuff and everything. The Pitbull stuff took up, what, 10, 12 minutes, if that? You know, which was fine. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it allows you time to get up. Like I got up and I got some chips and I got a Coke, you know? Who cares, yeah. You know?
And you know what? Somebody like him and Flo Rida, they're big draws in South Florida, so they did get the right people. I'm not a fan of them, but down there, they're huge. They're really over.
Mm-hmm. What you mean, JD, is that you went and got some Coke, because you do live in Michigan. So,
yeah, well, by that point, it was well past 11 o'clock. I needed something to stay awake, maybe.
All right, Hercules. All right.
More really awesome thing, too. I think the set was the best WrestleMania set of all time, easily, for me.
I like the set. I wouldn't say top. I'll still be very biased, and Greeny could back me up on this because he was standing next to me for that show. I'll still love WrestleMania 29 set.
Yeah.
I still love the skyline.
Really, just the amount of work, like with the LED ramp and everything, it's like, wow, that's...
Yeah, the ramp was cool. I had no issue with the ramp. I was fine. I mean, really, if you add up... Let's talk about Dead Space for a minute. If you add up the ramp entrances... I mean, what are you looking at? 20 minutes? Maybe?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not cutting that much. I guess my point is, guys, I agree. But at the same time, yeah, it is late. I concur. I don't think it'll end late, that late anymore. I think this year was a little different because they had to get that Taker stuff in. And it's Taker, and love him or hate him, or
he's
indifferent.
Not going to rush through anything.
He's not going to. He's going to take his fucking time. You know why? Because he can. To quote Shawn Michaels at the WrestleMania 11 press conference. You know why he can take his time? Because it's him. So, and that, and I actually went on the network the next day, and I went on the clip. Taker from when the replay ended, when they did the replay, the match replay stuff, and they showed him standing in the middle of the ring. With his trench coat and the hat and everything, till they faded, it was 12 minutes.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's all right. Now, the question is, but here's the question, though. Oh, go ahead, Johnny. You're going to say something?
I just said, yeah, you're not going to have
a
25-year veteran retiring every year. So.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the other question we have to ask ourselves is, they had a two-hour pre-show, threw three matches on there. What could have been cut to shorten this show? I mean, you had 10 matches. All of them needed to be done. Could you imagine if you... And you can't say, well, you could have made the two women's matches with less people. Both those matches weren't even that long. The Raw match was 12:08. The women's match was 5:35. So how much are you cutting out of that? All right. Normally you wouldn't. I mean, in the history of Mania, you normally don't have two women's matches. And if you did, it would have been about the shorter length. You would have probably split the difference. So that would have been 17. Maybe you would have had an eight-minute match. Actually, the longest women's match before last year's three-way was Mickey and Trish, the infamous lip lick, at WrestleMania 22. And that was 8 minutes. And then last year's triple threat was, I think, 2014, I think. The Raw this year was, again, what did I say? 12:08, and Naomi's win late was 5:35. Now, here's your match lengths. And Johnny, I want your thoughts on this. This is your question. I'm going to give you the match lengths. Not counting, I'll give you the pre-show one just for shits and giggles, but there were 2 hours to kill. Neville and Austin Aries was 15:40. That's pretty good. I don't think you're expecting that much longer out of that match. You probably could, and maybe if they wrestle at Payback, they'll get 20, because you'll probably only have, what, four more matches, maybe five.
Right.
Okay, all right. The Battle Royal was 14:07, and that was just a big pile of fucking garbage. That was just garbage. Gosh. Whether I hate Mojo or not, or I fucking hate Gronk, Greeny wanted to flip the fucking TV over, as most Jet fans probably did. But but then you had people like the What Culture guys who didn't even know who the hell he was. So what the fuck was the point? You know what I mean? It was stupid. And of course, Belichick's probably like, if they blow his knee out, I'll be putting cameras in next year's Silverdome, and spill the beans on everything going, you know, whatever. All right, and then Dean and Baron was 10:55, and I think they were smart to swap those matches, because originally, remember the SmackDown Women's match? If everybody listened to the preview last week, I went on a tirade about that, and you can conceivably say, well, then they made that. Well, you know what? Male wrestlers get over that shit, and they both got paid, so what do they fucking care? And they needed I think they wanted to put a title match on the 1 hour that USA was doing, so that's fine. All right, here are the match lengths for the matches. And Johnny, tell me your opinion on these. All right, AJ Shane was 20:35. Too long, too short, just right.
I think he could have cut maybe 3 to 5 minutes from it. But okay. I mean, that's give or take, though, because what they did in those 20 minutes was great. So.
Right.
Okay. But I still think you could have tightened it up a little bit.
Okay. Owens Jericho was 16:20. Many people thought there was really nothing special about that match. A lot of people thought it was straight up TV. The four way women's match with the Bailey nip slip, Steve Willey went a flutter, was 12:08. The ladder match was 11:05, but really nobody gave a fuck about the match itself because
right.
We were undeleted at the beginning. We'll get more into them later. The Nikki Cena Maryse Miz stuff was 9:40. But then all that mumbling crap at the end. I mean, I'm sorry. We'll get, you know, I'll get to Cena in a minute. That was 9:40. Seth and Triple H was a perfectly placed together 25:30. Did not need to be any shorter. In fact, I expected maybe another 12 minutes. You're all fired. Next was Orton and Bray, and they only got 10:30. So I, you know what, JD. They weren't given a lot. I'll get into that. We'll get into that match, too, because I did have my issues with that, too. Brock and Goldberg was 4:45. And let's be honest, guys. That was the best 4:45 I ever watched.
Oh, heck yeah.
Bomb, 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 done. That's what you wanted, right? Isn't that what everybody wanted? You didn't want Seth and Triple H. You wanted Spears, F5s, Jackhammers, and somebody win. And that's what you got.
Yep.
So no, can't argue. That. I'm pretty fine with that. As mentioned, Naomi won in 5:35, and then Reigns Taker was 23:05. Take away the Triple H Seth match, and I'm actually half kidding, Johnny, because that was not you're not going to shorten that match whether you like it or not. So, was anything wrong with the lengths of anything else? Do you think Taker Robin was too long?
No. Well, I mean, since you're not allowing me to talk about the. But that's the one I feel could have been shortened by about 6 or 7 minutes.
Okay. All right.
But other than that, you know, I feel.
Did you like that match?
Got shortchanged.
What'd you think of that match?
I felt the Raw Women's could have probably got another 4 minutes. You know.
Okay.
But again, now we're pushing the show longer.
Yeah. If you're, you know, yeah, I'm talking about shortening. You could if you like. I'm just saying, if we're talking about some way to cut this show down, dispersing minutes to other matches really defeats the purpose. But I see what you're saying though. Did you like the Triple H Rollins match? A lot of people I've heard, and I'm no joke here, did like the storytelling because it was all about Triple H pummeling Seth's legs until he could not move. That's what it was all about. That's what it was meant to be, and that's what it was. And Stephanie finally got what she was been everybody's wanted for fucking 3 years or whatever. And Seth won, which needed to be done. So everyone can say what they want about the fucking click, but Shawn and Triple H have a combined 22 losses at WrestleMania. So in the immortal words of the two of them, suck it. Now, Taker Roman, JD, what did you think of that match? Was it did the psychology work? It was evident that a lot of people said after the botched tombstone spot, which,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Admittedly, and I swear to God, guys, I never say, I mean, obviously all of our shows are documented. I don't say bad things about Roman that much, but he fucked that up. I mean, the guy's pretty big. I know Taker's, you know, not fucking, you know, he's not, Hornswoggle or anything, but seriously, he should have been able to do that. Overall, JD, what did you think of that match overall, and did the match suffer after that botch?
No, I don't think he suffered after that botch. In fact, what's kind of funny is I think this is a weird argument to make. I think the match was pretty bad, but in a way, I think that's the story. You know, is that Taker couldn't do it anymore, and I don't know if they're smart enough to know that he wasn't going to have a good match, so they kind of sell it as that. Am I making sense? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Almost intentionally, not intentionally bad, but intentionally knowing that it's not going to be a stellar match.
Right.
You know, like, he moves slow and things like that. So I have to think, I don't want to say that they sat down and planned it out and said, okay, let's have a bad match on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they are aware that he was limited, and so they kind of built that story in, you know, like, the reason this isn't good is because Taker's on his last legs, and Taker's barely able to go anymore. So I think in that sense, the psychology was there, and they told the right story, knowing his limitations. Having said that, just as a fan, sure, I can respect the guy for what he did, but that doesn't mean I enjoyed watching the match anymore. I still don't think it was a very good match. But I give them credit for finding a way to take a bad match where they knew they weren't going to, didn't have a real upside of something great, and making something compelling and a story out of it.
Right. Greeny, what did you think of the Taker match top to bottom, and your thoughts on the botch?
Yeah, I completely agree with JD on that. The story was that Taker couldn't go anymore, and that, I mean, Roman, I'm not a Roman hater at all. He's probably a top 5 or 6 worker in the company. I mean, once the bell rings, he's one of the best. The botch, I don't know. I mean, like, what else could they have had, like, planned, like, to do an audible for? Like, I don't know. I don't think it really hurt it. I mean, like...
No.
Eh.
You know why I don't think it hurt it? Because even, too, like, what was clearly a planned spot later on in the match where Taker did his sit-up but then tipped over.
Yeah.
You know, the botch... I don't want to say it helped the match, but it kind of, you know, went along with what the story they were telling.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like, the whole point of the match was, like when... To me, the entire point of the match was, okay, when's Roman going to win? Because there was no way in hell Taker was going to win that match. And, you know, when Roman was going to win, how the crowd was going to react, you know, were they going to do something special with Taker at the end? Is Roman going to do a full-blown heel turn and start throwing chair shots at Taker? You know, whatever. But Roman, to defend Roman too, he couldn't have his normal match, a normal match that he would have at a pay-per-view with somebody like AJ or Braun or Rollins or Owens, somebody like that. He had to slow his pace down. And I think that hurt him a little bit. Because as a big guy, he can move. Roman, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And having to slow down his pace for Taker, I think that hurt Roman a little bit.
I'm kind of done with the whole... Because it's been done so much in the last, like, say, 8 years of Taker matches... I'm done. Well, it won't happen anymore, obviously, but I was done with the whole tombstone flip reversal thing. I mean, that's been so played out by so many different people. I know Hunter did it at 27. I'm sure they probably did it at 28 too. We've seen Shawn. We saw Shawn do it in those couple of matches. I was tapped out on that. There was no need for that anymore. I thought that was probably a waste of a spot, but They like using it in Taker matches, which I think is kind of aggravating. But now, let's talk about Triple H for a minute, because I don't know how many, and I hate to say this, but I don't know how many more guys are left for even him. I mean, obviously, these guys can all turn babyface eventually. Excuse me. And face him at Mania. He's the new Vince in that aspect. But, and you're going to see him once a year, but I don't think that drags down Mania, particularly if you get a good match out of it. Now, I have obviously enjoyed the match Sunday. It's not his best Mania match. His best Mania match post-career, if you will, is probably still, obviously, Daniel at 30. But that's fine. But it was a big storyline, and the right guy won. Johnny, do you think that he's a locked-in guy now every year? Or do we see now this starting to kind of disperse and Hunter only wrestles maybe every couple years now? Or do you think he's going to become like the new... I still think Cena's the new Taker. But do you think Triple H is like the new guy that'll be the yearly feud? And he'll just lay down every year and put over the... Like, do you think that's a new consistent?
Until they create more main event level guys who have that type of drawing power, yeah, I do think he is. And I don't think it's a bad thing at all, because, I mean, look at the past few Manias. They're booking based on legacy stars.
Right.
And Hunter is probably the last one left who could still go at a pretty high level.
Right.
So I think until they create enough big stars out of this current generation, you're going to see Hunter there. And that's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, is JD, is Cena the new Taker? Like, is now he going to be the yearly... Like, is he officially yearly now?
I don't think we're to that point yet. Because I think he'll still do SummerSlam and the Rumble. I mean, I think maybe his there every single week is done. But I don't think we're to the point where he's just at WrestleMania yet. I think we're getting there. but I think Cena's still big show, you know, big match John. not every week SmackDown John. Basically,
right.
So
right.
I mean, the guy's got a wedding to plan now, you know.
Let's talk about that now. The match was fun. I was a little upset. They really did squash Miz and Maryse at the end. But to their credit, and we'll talk about the two shows after the break, they did pretty much come out and just not acknowledge they lost, which is what great what great heels do. And Maryse, in my opinion, is a better Nikki than Nikki. But that. I called it like a couple months ago. I mean, not that I'm a genius or anything all the time, but we kind of knew that the whole proposal thing was happening, because they wouldn't have made fun of it constantly in this storyline if that was not going to happen. Then it was executed so badly. I mean, what the fuck was he mumbling about? I mean, you know, he's, remember that time that you were in the hospital and I drugged you and I asked you that question. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are you really talking about? I mean, what was that? Oh, remember I was going to... He almost pretty much proved Miz right. I was going to propose to you when you were drugged up and then you wouldn't remember. Like, what the fuck was he doing? So
Nikki,
stupid.
Do you remember when you were drugged and you had a very weak memory? Imagine what I did.
Remember what Triple H did to Stephanie? Well... Yeah. You know, you married Eric Rowan. No. That was a waste. I'm sorry. That could have been done in about 7 less minutes. Cutting that down. That could have been cut down. Because the acting was just the shits. I think, and I think a lot of people may think this too, that I think they're already engaged. I think he actually proposed probably like in fucking January. And this was just a dog and pony show for the... Now I'll tell you something. If there's a match made in heaven in August, I ain't walking anywhere near the fucking Barclays Center. I'll tell you right now, I ain't paying for jack shit if I gotta watch a fucking wedding. Unless it's last, like at SummerSlam 91, and the subways are dead, that'll...
Send them a cobra as a wedding gift.
Hell yeah! Greeny's gonna wear the Sid red polo, and I'll wear the Jake jeans and you know. And Johnny, you could be our manager because you're good at that level. I mean,
two things about this match. First off, we had WrestleMania first with Cena being the first person ever to wrestle with a engagement ring in his jorts.
Yes, you're right.
And secondly, there's no way that proposal was genuine because I've seen people get engaged before, and Nikki's reaction was not genuine. That was total bullshit. This might go down as one of the biggest disappointments in WrestleMania history. I was so looking forward to this match because the build was incredible, and it felt so flat the second the bell rang. But, I mean, you know, good for John and Nikki. I mean, there's your season two of Total Bellas right there. So, and Miz is a guy who can lose a lot. He's like Kevin Owens and like Bray to me, where he can afford to lose a lot of matches and it won't hurt his character because he's so good at right. So many other things. But, yeah, such a huge WrestleMania disappointment.
Speaking of WrestleMania disappointments, let me softball to our former WWE champion. Here's the problem with that match. And honestly, guys, I have zero problem with Randy Orton being champion. I honestly don't, because I think he's just going to pass off to somebody else anyway. But the match was just too weird. Why do we need all that fucking maritime aquarium crap coming off the fucking
maggots
roof?
And the war.
What the hell was that? Why did we need that?
The best thing I saw on Twitter, somebody tweeted, maybe they could put a better match on the mat. Yeah, project a better match on the screen.
I think the maggots having a battle royal was better than the fucking battle royal. Johnny, what the fuck was that? I mean, you know, I almost feel like those guys were stuck having to do that. I'm not bailing out Bray, JD, because I know he did wrestle another stinker. But let's think about this for a minute. I feel like we had to have these long, drawn-out segments where Orton had to roll around on the ground, and he never does that. We're rolling around and then we had to, upper shot, oh, there's the maggots, and then some more wrestling. Oh, rolling around, oh, here's the whatever they were, fucking dragonflies, whatever the hell it was, and worms and everything. I feel like they booked the match around those stupid spots.
Yeah.
Instead of just having a match. I was looking forward to that match. I honestly thought, not realizing what they were doing with Taker, I thought that match was going to be last, and I would have had zero problem with it. All right, yeah, people, Orton ending WrestleMania, you know, whatever. But I was fine with this match. I thought the feud was great. You weren't sure whether Orton was a heel, because if you burn somebody's house down, even though it's a, you know, a glorified outhouse, I mean, it's still a house, but... I mean, Johnny.
We call that a Michigan mansion.
That's for fucking sure. Isn't that where the Silver Dome is now? It's going to be affordable housing.
Speaking of burnt down.
Yeah. I mean, Johnny, did you get that feeling as you were watching the match that you felt like they were booking the match around these stupid LED spots?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the first time it happened, I literally yelled, "What the fuck is that?"
Yeah.
Look, I mean, they have a history with Taker doing the hocus pocus and the weird things, but they never went that far with it. And I don't know, maybe I'm too much of a old school purist, but that just doesn't belong in wrestling, man.
Well, here's the other thing, and the Taker's hocus pocus was always in segments. When did they ever do anything? The only time they ever used Hocus Pocus in a match, probably like when he fought, I think like Unforgiven 98 when he fought Kane in that Inferno match, they did some funky shit. But all of Taker's stuff is entrance and segments. They've never actually ruined a Taker match with you know, Hocus Pocus nonsense. But to take two guys that are actually pretty decent wrestlers and booked and ruin their match by having to book it around, you know, what, you know, whatever the hell that was utterly ludicrous.
Right.
So, as much as we want to flush Bray down the toilet, JD, I know we always every year feel like we're bailing him out, and I have to say, I think we got to bail him out now too. I mean, yeah, he keeps losing. The losing needs to stop. But we're talking we're talking it's different. We're talking about match quality as we are about match result.
Right.
Had they booked that as a regular
match, if the
quality
was there, I don't think the losses would bother people as much.
Right. But I think we got to cut a little bit of slack to the fact that they were told to go out there and set up that.
Yeah, it was strange.
And I mean, seriously, it destroyed the match. It destroyed the match. And that's the only time of the night that I legitimately went, well, that was 15 minutes I'm not going to get back. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was the only time for me. I wish Triple H came out in a regular hog instead of big wheels on roids. I thought that was a little childish. You really needed three wheels, Hunter? Come on, man.
I was waiting for you in the sidecar, man.
Well, yeah, son of a bitch. The cops are for me and Wilkie. No. I don't want to totally get into Taker tonight because I have a feeling we'll be talking a lot about him as we head into New Orleans next year.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get into career. Maybe this summer we'll do a Taker episode or something. I'll get some Taker fans. Well, I'll get some legible Taker fans on.
I know one.
Yeah, I know one too. Let's hope he doesn't transcribe anything. Huh. Bad notes. But we'll get into Taker's career another day because, I mean, we could go forever on Taker's career.
Sure.
But I thought the ending was great. And talking to JR and talking to the guys there, it was an awesome moment. And all the years we were at SummerSlam and like last year when he fought Brock, it doesn't matter what kind of match it is or who he's wrestling or whatever the hell it is. When you are in the building live for a Taker entrance, you don't forget it. And in this instance, you had an entrance and an exit that you'll never forget. Whether it was late or not, I mean, you know, poor Pete, he fell asleep at what, 5:30? But you know, I mean, what it comes down to is I think you're just going to have to either, you know, if there's enough complaints. Now, I got the WWF fan survey yesterday. And it had nothing to do with Mania. They didn't send a Mania one out. They sent out
a network one or something?
You know, they sent one out about SmackDown. I got it today about SmackDown. But I didn't get a fan survey about Mania because I think deep down they know that that's probably what most people are going to bitch about is the crappy was the length. But I don't know if that's ever going to change. I think it's just going to get longer. Yeah, they may have to start it. They may be told to start at 6. And since everybody's watching anyway.
Do you remember? I think it was WrestleMania 2000. Remember, it was like an all day countdown show.
WrestleMania 16 was great because we got to see Ivory in her pajamas, and that was kind of
hot. Yeah, she changed her clothes like 40 times.
40 times.
It's going to become that. Yeah. You know, next year, Renee Young's going to have 14 outfit changes. So.
You know what? As Greeny knows, I have my new favorite WWE. Announce person, and that is the sweaty cleavage herself, the great Charlie Caruso, and her beating. Well, I mean, seriously, it's like she and Marina Menounos, JR's love interest there, was talking with Heyman, and literally all everybody's eyes were on glistening boobs, nice legs, glistening boobs. Who? Heyman? Well, whatever. She's fucking hot as shit. The round table thing is getting, I don't want to say stale, but we're having, it's there's a way you can tighten that up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had stupid Sam Roberts, that dumb leprechaun, and that other sweaty bastard Rosenberg. I mean, there was no need for those two dopes to be around. I was kind of hoping, and this is for us local people in the Northeast, and Greeny will giggle at this. I was kind of hoping we get like a Michael Kay sighting and his big gigantic head because Rosenberg works. Rosenberg does his show here in the tri-state area. So I was kind of hoping we'd get his oblong head sitting there too, but we didn't.
See ya.
He was probably sleeping next to me. He's probably sleeping next to me. Anyway. Would you watch this Now, our man Scott Keith, and we'll talk about it when we after the break, Scott Keith gave this a scathing review. He did thumbs in the middle, and he said he'd never watch it again. Greeny, would you ever watch this show again?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's been some debate. Is this a top 10 Mania? Yeah, I feel very comfortable leaving this at about number 9 or number 10. No dead time whatsoever. You didn't have any 5-star matches, but every match had something to it, between, you know, the entrances, having Jim Ross out there for Taker and Roman. Nothing really, really disappointed. I mean, yeah, the Cena and Miz stuff was disappointing, but everything was entertaining during the match at one point or another. You can't say that about many WrestleManias. And I would definitely watch it again. You know, if I was sick with the flu and needed something to throw on a rainy day, yeah, I would throw this on again. Why not?
Greedy, would you, or JD, would you ever watch this show again?
I don't know that I'd do it in one sitting. I didn't even watch it this time in one sitting. I started watching it when I heard the Hardys came out, and then I went back and watched the rest the next day. Definitely some matches I would watch again. But again, from start to finish, just that length is... I don't watch anything for that amount of time. So even if it was a great show from top to bottom, I don't know. I think it would take a while for me to watch a 5-hour wrestling show again. I'd definitely watch it again before I'd watch 32. I wouldn't dread it. You know, like if we were doing like a podcast rewind or something like that, and you guys said 33, I wouldn't be like, oh, good God. You know?
Right.
I don't think it's top 10.
But you could watch it over, but in that instance, you could watch it over 3 days. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, easily, yeah.
Right.
I mean, like we talked about, I mean, the Bray and the Randy stuff was probably the worst thing in the show. But other than that, there's not a lot that was like, ugh, this is awful. Why am I watching this? I mean, some of the pre-show stuff, the Battle Royal, you know, like, who cares? I mean, it sucked, but it's a pre-show Battle Royal, you know?
Exactly. Johnny, would you ever watch this show again?
Sure. Probably not in one sitting, but yeah, I'd definitely watch it again. I don't think it's a top 10, but I do think it's a solid show.
If I ranked it, I don't know if I would do top 10. I don't know, though. I mean, other than Orton Bray, every match was really good in its own special way. Nothing was, other than Orton Bray, and that's the Booker's fault, nothing was really a stinker.
No.
Every match was at least 2.5 to 4.5. Was there a 5? Probably not. You could be generous be generous with AJ Shane, but that wasn't 5. There was no 5s on this night, but there was 2.5 to 4.5. There wasn't a stink. The only stinker would probably be Orton Bray, and that's because they got backed into a corner because they needed worms and maggots to eat them for some reason. I don't know.
I think the SmackDown women's match, I wouldn't say it stunk, but it felt like they had their time cut.
They definitely had their time cut. We knew. I mean, I think we kind of knew that Naomi was going to win, and that's fine. And to take away, Alexa Bliss was a tremendous champion, and I think we haven't seen the last of her. Guys, great first segment. Let's take a break here on the main event. When we return, we will go over the next 2 days, Monday Night Raw, Tuesday SmackDown Live, and see what the future holds as we go ahead to the rest to continue 2017, our next pay-per-view. April 30th, Payback, which is a Raw show live from the Shark Tank in San Jose. But let's talk about Raw and SmackDown coming up after the break here on Main Event.
Scott, if we go to the Royal Rumble together, we might get to see Mojo win live in person.
I'd rather do your coke, because...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following...
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, thehistoryofwrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey and Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apuestas podcast, The Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Pari, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
This is my yard now.
I don't think Roman Reigns could have made it any clearer. It's his yard now.
And welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to the main event. Scott Criscolo, Jason Greenhouse, Johnny Reckless, Jordan Duncan. We just went through our WrestleMania postmortem. We'll talk a little Raw and SmackDown in a moment. But first, let's talk PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The excellent WWE Network adventure continues. Myself, JR, Mr. McGinn, Mr. Bayless. We did the October 5th, 1985 episode of Saturday Night's Main Event. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday walk around the web. JR and I continuing our Vintage Vault refresh. The September 26th, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw. Brian Bayless has your Raw rundown from Monday. The MFWF Monster Mania review. Glenn Butler, he's talking about the Monster Factory Wrestling Federation, is the wrestling arm of Monster Factory. Polygon's series of deep dives into the nooks and crannies of character creation menus. So check that out, the MFWF Monster Mania preview. We talked about Scott Keith. He's got his rant up for WrestleMania 33. Check it out. Newest episode of Between the Sheets, KZ and Bix, joined by Mike Michaels from at Bionic Elbow on Twitter. They talked about this week in 1990. Check that out. Newest episode of Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast, WrestleMania Recovery. So check that out as well. The WWN Super Show Mercury Rising review. Dave Musgrave has that for you. And again, from this past weekend, if you have not watched NXT TakeOver Orlando, would like a kind of a opinion of Place to Be Nation on it, check out myself, Mr. Greenhouse, Mr. Reckless. We did the special main event reaction show for NXT TakeOver Orlando, so check that out as well. Also, of course, go to Amazon.com through PlaceToBeNation.com, and anything you buy, we get a little taste. Check out our great ebooks that JR and I are putting together of all of our great reviews, Raws, pay-per-views, a lot of fun. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys, we're out of Mania, and now it's time to talk about Monday night and Tuesday night. And we got a lot to talk about. All right. Let's start right off the top. Monday night on Raw from the Amway Center. Since 2013, we all know that post-Mania Raw at IZOD. Most infamous episode maybe in the history of Raw. Every year, the crowds try to invent being special. And after IZOD was natural about being special. Why? Because the Northeast rules. That's why. And WrestleManias 30, 31, and 32 all had interesting post-Mania Raws. But this past Monday night was very unique, because I think a tremendous heel turn is in the offing. We got a lot of snarky chants. Obviously, the Undertaker chants open the show. You know, you suck. You know, fuck you, Roman. And we'll get to that in a minute. But where are these mysterious noises coming from? I don't know. I'm getting these weird beeps and boops. What are you doing, JD?
Me?
I don't know. I thought you were making noise. Anyway, maybe there's gremlins in here. Phil?
I'm Pete? Listening to every word you say.
So. Pete? All right, Pete. Anyway, no, we love Pete. Pete's off. And you know what? You can't really blame him, because I'm sure he wasn't the only one. Anyway. Now, Roman comes out to nuclear heat. and says, "This is my yard now," and just leaves. He gets a grand total of about 3 minutes on camera, 5 seconds talking, and 8 minutes of having fucking torches and pitchforks thrown at him. Now, booing is one thing. Funky chants are one thing. Fuck you, Roman, is a bit much.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, you are entitled to boo. You're entitled to chant. Roman sucks and everything. But you've got little kids there. There's people. Right. I mean, you obviously you have little kids, JD, and I mean, it's embarrassing to hear 18,000 people chant "fuck you, Roman" when you got kids in the audience.
Right.
Now you're going overboard. Now you're not being an inventive audience. Now you're just being a bunch of douchebags.
Yep.
And I think that's the. Unfortunately, the low element of the wrestling fan that's kind of embarrassing. Greeny, what are your thoughts on just that segment to start the show?
The segment itself was fine. The chants were just disgusting. I mean, that's the only word I can use for it. This is not 1998 ECW that's on at 2 o'clock in the morning on MSG Network where you can get away with saying, "fuck you, Sandman, fuck you, Dreamer, fuck you, Raven." No, it's 8 o'clock on a Monday night and you have kids watching and you have kids in the crowd. I don't have kids, but I know, you know, people, you know, like JD and, you know, and a bunch of us, you know, other PTB Nation listeners do. It's disgusting and it's an embarrassment. And then they did it again later on during the Hardys match with the fuck that owl chant.
Yep.
Horrible. Disgusting. There's absolutely no reason why they couldn't just boo the guy. I mean, hell, throw papers in the ring at him. You know. Don't yell that. And they know that there's no way that USA Network and Kevin Dunn can beep 20,000 people out at the Amway Center from saying that. So it's gross. It's disgusting. As a wrestling fan, I'm embarrassed.
I mean, I get chance. I get, you know. I mean, and you're right. In 1998, crowds were a little younger. They were also, but they were a little more attuned to the product. Vince didn't hide the fact that he had that the product was like that. So the asshole chants were there and stuff. But the product was catered to that.
Yeah, the characters themselves would cuss and
2017
swear, you know?
WWE, you can't get "fuck you, Roman." Johnny, am I going wrong on this?
This is a tough one because I look at it this way. I was 8 years old in the New Haven Coliseum, and you know, I heard some language that no 8 year old should ever hear.
I was probably in the same shows with you, brother. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, so I mean, I understand the fact that, of course, you don't want kids hearing that language, but it's. I hate to say it, it's also the nature of the business in a way. You're gonna get some lowlifes in there. You always do. The fact is that this chant caught on. Was the language too far? Yeah, maybe. I'll give you a maybe on that. But at the same time, I think. I'm not justifying it. I'm really not. But I think there's this frustration with Roman, and they just didn't know where else to go. I honestly thought the go-away chant was a lot better than "fuck you, Roman."
Mm-hmm.
That was a little more creative, at least.
I agree with that. Go-away is fine. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's where go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you that the "fuck you, Roman" was a little too much. You're also, you know me, I am a hardcore fan of ECW, no pun intended there, and it doesn't bother me at all. I find it kind of funny, but for people who do have kids, and, you know, I get it, man, I get it, you don't want your kids hearing that, you know, I could tell you, like I said, going back to my first wrestling experience, you know, you had some very creative language.
Yep,
you know?
I agree. Yep.
You know? And, you know, they have tried to clean the business up, you know, and present it in a different way, but I think at its core, you're still watching something that is Think about it this way. We are looking at people who settle any grudge with violence. All right? That is not exactly a message you want to send to kids either. So, you know, just think about that.
But it's eloquent, beautiful violence, though. But I think the point here, Johnny, is in terms of that chant specifically, and I guess asshole to this point, if you're taking your 10-year-old daughter to fucking barely legal 90,
yeah.
to barely legal 97, you're a jackass. Because, you know, your daughter's probably going to get propositioned, much less fuck you, Chance.
Oh my God!
You know, for Christ's sakes, don't go to the hold your pee in, honey, because I ain't letting you go to the girls' room by yourself.
They'll teach her how to blade.
But to go to a WWE show at this point and have a bunch of people who know it's the night after Mania, we already know what happened at Izod in 2013. For hell, they did a 24 episode on it. The Amway Center crowd that night went in with a preconceived notion that they were gonna rock that building with whatever they want, and that's fine. The wave, the JBL chants, they did Savage chants at the Izod Center,
Savage.
Randy Savage chants, even the Punk chants. But to be that crass at this stage of the way the product is laid out went overboard, and I think these fans. Yeah, we get it. And we'll talk about the Hardys. Yes, Anthem is holding up the broken gimmick. I get it. They're fucking assholes. I get it. They kind of have a right to, but I get it. But really, do we need a fuck that owl chant? I mean, come on. I mean, it's idiotic. I mean...
Well, and with that chant specifically, it's just like trying to prove a point that you know what's going on.
Yeah, hey, I'm a snark. So's the rest of us, you fucking dipshits. Right? You know, it's not like, hey, I'm the only one that listens to Meltzer. I mean, come on. You know, get a fucking grip. Go ahead, John.
Well, there's one thing I was thinking of, because this is like the first year. They did it a little last year, too, where WWE is almost marketing the Mania after Monday as this crazy experience.
Oh, right. Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
yep.
It was something at one point where they couldn't control and they were a little frustrated with it. Now they kind of co-opted it to make it seem cool. So now you have the so-called smart fans wanting to push back a little harder, and I think that it may have backfired.
Well, I got a good point. I got a good point to back up your point, because I agree with you 100%. Same thing happened Friday night at the Hall of Fame. Now, Greeny and I were at the Garden in 2013, and that was it was a very emotional night for me because my dad had just passed away 4 months earlier, and Bruno was his favorite wrestler. So it meant a lot to me to be at the Garden that night to see his favorite wrestler get inducted in the house that Bruno fucking owned. And I still think there should be a banner hanging from the roof, but the Dolans are dicks, so fuck them. But the other memorable thing from that night, Greeny, as you would say, it was douchebag city that night at the Garden. The Hall of Fame is not a house show. It's a ceremony. You don't walk into a hotel ballroom at a banquet and start heckling the fucking speakers. I mean, that's what this is. It's not a house show. It's not Raw. It's a ceremony. And I remember poor Maria Menounos getting torched by people because they thought her speech inducting Backlund was too long. Fast forward to Friday night. Fast forward to Friday night. Because remember, like, Cena always gets booed. It's like, oh my God, grow up. But, and this is where I agree with you, Johnny. Greeny and I, you and I watched the Hall of Fame Friday night. And the first thing I said was, oh, they're kind of feeding into it because, you know, after every induction, they do a promo for, you know, Mania or NXT or, you know, TakeOver or whatever. And they would do a promo targeting a specific feud. The first time they did it, they did a little vignette for Brock and Goldberg. Immediately out of that, the first guy they show is Goldberg. And, of course, he gets booed because everybody wanted Brock to win. And I gotta think about Goldberg later too. couple of inductees later, they did a piece on Nikki and Cena against the next guy is Miz. Okay. Then later in the show, right, I think it's right before Kurt, they do a piece for Triple H versus Seth, and then they show Triple H. Now, they never used to do that at the Hall of Fame broadcasts, where they would kind of blend the storylines with the guys sitting in the at the Hall of Fame ceremony. They never did that before until Friday night. So to answer your question, John, to counter your point about the fuck you, Roman, WWE should probably take about 10% of the blame because they've now cultivated this feeling of it's the night after Mania, everybody. And then obviously the first guy you're going to take out is the guy who retired, like, you know, most people's top three favorite guy of all time. Yeah, you're going to be pissed off. And they wanted to... Now, I'm a little upset. I agree with you, John, at the creativity thing. Saying fuck you is not really that creative, to be honest with you. I like the go away. That was better. But they all... That whole crowd in that building realized we need to do something that people will remember or we're just going to be yet just another Raw. And after the Izod Center in 2013, we can't have just another Raw after WrestleMania anymore. So they need to come up with something to... for us to be sitting here talking about it. And that's what they did. And I think it failed miserably because I think it was immature and crass for the new way that WWE is marketed.
Can I add to that a little bit too?
Yeah, please. Please, JD, go ahead.
See, I think what's funny is this crowd was so desperate to make everyone know how much they hated Roman, but the guy had them so manipulated. All he had to do was raise a microphone to his chin to draw massive heat.
Yep.
It's so funny to me because it's, you know, when we were growing up, we thought wrestling was real, you know, like that's long change. You know, my kids are kids and they know terms like booking and push and babyface and heel, like, cause kids can get on the internet now. Like,
yep.
The old kayfabe's gone, but the new way to work fans is to make them think they figured it out.
Right.
You know, and I feel like every fan that boos Roman Reigns and says, Roman sucks, he's the worst, is getting worked.
Yep.
You know, like they think they'll say he's not over, but here's my biggest takeaway from Raw is this crowd booed him and booed him and booed him. It was so passionate when he was out there. Then the very next segment was Neville and Mustafa Ali, who had a crazy good match.
Yeah, it was actually a very good match.
And the crowd didn't give a crap about either of them. They were turned around following a freaking beach ball around.
Yeah, that was beach balls.
So who's not over? Is it Roman or is it those guys? You know, they got worked. We're getting worked.
Because you know what's funny? Fans, a lot of these smarky pricks, and I apologize for my language tonight, but we've talked like this for years.
My kids don't listen to this show.
I should probably start putting the thing on the pod, being the content thing. But we do it on the iTunes feed, though. We do put explicit on the iTunes feed. The whole thing is, since when are you only over when you're cheered?
Right, exactly.
You're over if you're making any noise. So these 20,000 Nimrods got him over. So you're an idiot.
Yep. I guarantee this, if Roman had a match or a longer promo, no beach balls are flying around. You know, they're not going to be doing the wave when Roman's out there because they are fixed on what he's doing.
Yeah, I think some people get confused with the word over, just like some people get confused with the word heat. Some people think heat and they think that heat is booing somebody and being over is being applauded. It's basically the same thing. If you have heat and if you're over, you're getting a reaction, which is, if it's good or bad, it's better than getting no reaction.
Right, which is like what the next two guys that came out got. Nothing.
Right, exactly.
The one dude did a springboard Spanish fly. I'm like, that's insane. And the crowd was watching a beach ball.
It was a great move. Oh my God, what a finisher. And I'm all in on Neville right now. The match Sunday, the match Monday, and he had a hell of a promo on 205 Live on Tuesday night. So I'm all in on the king of the roided up cruiserweights. Johnny, What, do you agree with me on that? Because, I mean, there aren't I don't hold many people in terms of a mind of wrestling in such high regard as I do you. If you're booking Roman, you got to be loving life right now. Right?
Oh, of course. Of course. If those people really wanted to prove that they hated Roman, they should have sat there in silence.
They should have turned around and mooned him. Although we didn't want to see a bunch of sweaty asses, because trust me, I saw pictures of people in the crowd. That's the last thing we really needed. You know what I mean? That's what it is. So you're all idiots. You got him over. You failed. So there you go.
They got him over as a heel, though, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and maybe that's not Vince's plan, but better to be a heel than be nothing at all. Yep. So, and obviously, as we saw later on in the evening, Brock Lesnar, who is our Universal Champion, is kind of being booked as a babyface now.
Mm-hmm.
Because Donald Gibb from Revenge of the Nerds came out and clearly challenged him to something. So, and he'll stay a heel, even though he got some cheers, though, because I think people are starting to warm up to Braun now. I am. I like Braun a lot, actually. Now, let's talk about the Hardys. So great to see them back. I know they're favorites of yours, Johnny.
Definitely.
Okay. So, but they're not stupid, though. Like, yes, we got to hear the old, 1999 or 2000 music, and that's fine. I don't fucking care, to be honest with you. I'm just glad they're here. But he still does Matt still does the crazy face. He still has the fluffy hair. They all do the delete on the turnbuckles. They're going to do it. It's going to happen. So just, everybody should just relax. It'll happen. But let's, gimmick aside, JD, isn't them back just make the division better? Gimmick or no gimmick? It's Jeff and Matt.
Well, I mean, it puts a team in there that people care about, yeah.
Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to find a tweet that he... If Matt stays in character on Twitter and stuff, it's pretty awesome. Here it is. He Matt's like explaining why he's acting the way he does on Twitter, which I think is kind of cool. He tweets a couple days ago, "The sheer nirvana of coming home to that deafening ovation at WrestleMania seems to have contained my condition." So it's kind of like he the character that he's at right now is that he's so excited that he's been welcomed back that it's like made him normal again. Which I think it just speaks to how creative he is with this whole character, like that he takes time to tweet why he's just acting like a Hardy boy and not Broken Matt Hardy. You know, like the amount of thought that this guy puts into this character is pretty remarkable.
And you know what, too? I mean, whether they're Team Extreme or Broken Matt and Brother Nero, they're going to be facing five or six different teams that they've never faced before. I mean, that's refreshing right there. And I mean, come on, you're going to see them against another team who we saw debut on Monday, the Revival. I mean, you have four Southern boys that are just going to tear it down in a tag match at some point. I am fucking pumped for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Yes, I am very pumped about about that. And
the only negative that I see towards it is, and I say this because I watched most of the Broken stuff in TNA. When Matt has to wrestle, Matt isn't what Matt Hardy used to be anymore. You can kind of see the age on him, and you can kind of see the breakdown. And, these first few matches back, if they limit them, I hope they don't have him wrestling on Raw a lot, I guess. If they can limit them to maybe pay-per-views and stuff, they can hide it well enough to where the excitement's still there and they can still have those good matches. But I think if they make the mistake of putting the Hardys in matches every single week, I'm telling you guys, you'll probably notice that Matt has slowed down. I mean, and he's in his 40s, and he made a career off jumping off ladders and taking crazy bumps. Of course, he's a little hobbled, So just in terms of that, I don't think Matt's there, and that's why I like the character so much and why I prefer to see the character, because then he doesn't have to wrestle as much. But I guess that's my biggest concern with them moving forward is, are they going to wrestle 10-minute matches every week? I hope not. But because they have to fill 3 hours, I'm worried that they will.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of worried. You don't want to get these guys worn out, but I do agree with you.
I mean, if they can keep them to just maybe, you know, they're the champs, all these other teams got to fight on Raw each week, and the champs fight at the pay-per-view, then I don't think it'll be a problem at all.
Another good thing about having them back, too, is that, you know, apparently, you know they're back full-time, which is great, which means that they're going to be going around the house show loops on the weekends. And this is really, really going to help the Raw house show gates on the weekends. I mean, I'm guessing that they're going to be staying on Raw and they won't be switched over to SmackDown. Because SmackDown's been killing Raw in attendance over the past few months because, I mean, SmackDown has Cena. And, you know, the Hardys are... You know, they've been around 15, 20 years. Fans from, you know, 15, 20 years ago know of them. And, you know, it might get them back into wrestling. If they see that the Hardys are going to be coming to WWE house show in their town, they're going to want to go. So, I mean, having them back is helping out the company a little bit as well.
Right, yeah. There's some of the biggest stars from one of the maybe two biggest periods, along with Hulkamania.
Right.
The company's history.
Right, and merchandise, too.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Johnny, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a house show coming to our little arena up the way here. Did you know that?
I did. I just heard about it.
Yeah, it's a Saturday night. I think it's... What do we see, Greeny? It's a SmackDown house show, so we probably won't see the Hardys. But we might see this other team, as Greeny just mentioned a moment ago, that debuted on Raw Monday night, and that is, of course, my beloved Mr. Dash... Wilder, Mr. Scotty Dawson, the Great Revival, who debuted and beat up the New Day, which is perfectly fine with me. I don't see them staying, though. Unless they're part of this, quote, faction thing, I see them being swiped to... I see them going to SmackDown.
I think the team they beat will be going to SmackDown. I think New Day will head over there.
I think pieces of New Day will head over there.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay. Johnny, you know, I'm a big Revival fan I am. Where do you see them fitting better?
Interesting. Actually, I just want to throw one note to any Hardys fan out there. The night before Mania, they wrestled for Ring of Honor in a ladder match against the Young Bucks.
I think Nigel promoted it on TakeOver the night before. So,
go out of your way to see that match. It is one hell of a match.
Well, it's the Bucks, so you know you're never going to get a stinker out of them. So I agree with you.
Now back to the Revival. Where do they stand? Is what you're asking?
Yeah, where would they fit better? Should they stay on Raw, or could they get swiped and go to SmackDown? And would they succeed more there? Like which show? Let me rephrase it then. Which show needs them more?
That's a tough one because I think the Revival could have a great match with the Hardys. And a couple other teams on Raw, too. I could see, a pretty good match with Sheamus and Cesaro. But, you know, if you look on SmackDown, there's, you know, the magic they could create with American Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
If American Alpha stays, we don't know that yet. And, you know, it's heel-heel, but I think they could have a great match with the Usos, mm-hmm. too. That's the good thing about the Revival. They are such a great team. That they're a plus to whichever brand they're on.
Correct.
Going by depth right now, if everything stays the same, I think SmackDown needs them a little more.
Okay. All right. I like them either way. I'm just glad they're up. They've done everything they could in NXT, and I think NXT needs to not be leaning on those guys anymore. I think they need to start cultivating some new teams themselves down there. Two more things to discuss on Raw. Of course, Finn Balor returned. He was in the big tag main event, but that's not really a shock. It's just nice to have him back. You knew he was back because he was wrestling on the house show circuit preceding WrestleMania anyway, so that wasn't a surprise.
Right.
Greeny, my fellow t-shirt aficionado like me, I like the new t-shirt, but why is it black? Enough with the black t-shirts!
To make fat guys like me look thin when they wear them, that's why.
Greeny understands that. No. So
all the black in the world isn't going to work on that for me.
That's going to be a new main event promo. All right. But of course the big news, your new Raw general manager, because obviously Foley is getting his hip replaced and Stephanie is going to need rehab from the table spot. very sad. No. Your new Raw General Manager is the great WWE Hall of Famer, Kurt Angle, who got a great pop and immediately makes the show so refreshing. Mm-hmm. From the, that's not how you spell soft, to some of the other hijinks. This is the question I wanted to ask. JD, I'll ask you first. We'll go around the horn. JD, I'll ask you first. Was the reason why everybody loved SmackDown since the split to this point just because they hated Stephanie and Mick? Or was quality show-wise, is SmackDown just better? Or was it better because you can stomach Shane and Daniel and you wanted to punch Mick and Stephanie in the face? Suddenly, does Kurt make Raw the better show just by him being GM? Was that the only problem?
Gosh, that's kind of a loaded question. I don't think it was the only problem. I do think it's a big problem, though. There's a lot of people, and I'm one of them, who Stephanie has changed the channel, you know, for me. Like, I don't ever want to see Stephanie McMahon. Whereas Kurt Angle is, I'll watch Kurt Angle. I will say this, I'm scared that he's going to melt based off how much he was sweating when he came out there on Monday. He looked like he was in a bathtub before he walked out. But you know what I think? You know what I think? The one thing that Angle is going to help so much that people won't realize is what's a big complaint people have about Raw? I mean, not the matches. The matches are fine. I mean, we see them too much and we see it happen too much. But the comedy is so bad, right? Whenever they try to be funny, they fail. Kurt Angle is going to improve that by leaps. He already did. Like, already on Monday, he made me chuckle. Like, if they can have some effective comedy, which is something that they go to a lot, if he can just be funny, I think that makes the show a lot more watchable. And I don't have any reason to think that he won't, because he always has been that. I mean, yeah, he's a great wrestler, but I mean, he might be one of the best comedy workers, comedy characters in history.
Easily.
So I think that's a really underrated point that people aren't going to mention is that he's going to fix the comedy issues on Raw. That's not something that, you know, he's going to address on camera or anything like that. But I think that will help a lot in terms of, with Raw, so many backstage segments, they just make you groan. You're like, oh, that was bad. Oh, that was bad. Not to say that Angle's going to make all of them good, but he can take something bad and make it work, whereas other people wouldn't. So,
okay.
But I do think it'll help close the gap a lot.
Johnny, what do you think? Was the problem, was Stephanie and your boy Mick the only problem on Raw? Is suddenly, are they even now just because of Kurt, or does Raw still have work to do?
Raw still has work to do. Here's the thing. The thing about Shane and Daniel is you don't see them as much, meaning they're not as much part of the show as Stephanie and Mick were. Granted, in the build-up to Mania, you did see more of Shane, but they weren't as heavy-handed in their involvement. And SmackDown, to me, just comes across as a tighter show.
Mm-hmm.
And it may just go back to 3 hours. That could be what's still hurting Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a problem that's never going to, unfortunately, the reason we don't talk about that problem is because we're never going to get rid of it. It's never going to happen. So
right.
even though Triple H actually said it on a Stone Cold podcast, what, 2 years ago, I think, mm-hmm. or 2.5 years ago, he said the problem with Raw is 3 hours. But as long as Vince is breathing and as long as USA has no problem thinking that the ratings don't matter and they'll still get their spots, then we're stuck with it. I think Kurt definitely upgrades Raw immensely in that aspect. Now, as for Tuesday night, the crowd was not as snarky because I think most... I know one girl I work with, literally, and this is her, it was her first WrestleMania. She'd been to pay-per-views, but this was her first Mania. She literally went Wednesday and didn't come back till today. And she went to everything, and that includes That's Access. Insane. She went to Access Friday, Hall of Fame, Access, NXT, Mania, Raw, SmackDown. She went to everything. And God bless. Hopefully I'll see her tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to what her experience was. But SmackDown did not have that same fuck you Roman snarkiness to it. By then, I think people are just cooked. The two big shocks on SmackDown, we did get two debuts. We had, yes, Mr. 10 himself, Ty Dillinger. Let me talk about him for a minute, and then we'll get to the other big surprise. Ty was just a rudderless pile of poop pretty much the last 3 months on NXT. I think he lost like 11 matches in a row on NXT. Greeny, how much does Ty help SmackDown, and how much does SmackDown help him?
I think with him, I mean, he's obviously very over as a babyface. At least he was in NXT. I just hope that they don't have the same problem with him as they did with somebody, say, like Adam Rose, where it just simply worked in front of a small crowd at NXT, and once every 3 months in a big arena on an NXT pay-per-view. I hope that they don't throw him in our faces and do a slow build with him. Maybe put him in a small feud right now, maybe with somebody like Dolph Ziggler or somebody like that. Don't put him in a big program yet. Just kind of get a feel for him, you know, with the main roster audience. See how they react to him. See how he looks every Tuesday, and just kind of take it from there.
Okay, Johnny, what do you think? What do you think they should do with Ty?
I completely agree with what Greeny just said. You know, it's kind of a wait and see. I've never seen that much in the guy. I mean, he's a great athlete, and you know, but what I mean, character wise, I don't know how far you could really go with that. So mid card at best, you know.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I can't see him. I mean, maybe we can get some title shots, but what I think they should do is I think they should counter, and I think Apollo Crews needs to be sent down. I think Apollo Crews needs to go back to NXT. I think they totally mangled him in on SmackDown, completely mangled him this past year.
What if they should have Apollo Crews be his tag team partner, and it's like Ty's the perfect 10, and Apollo's the average 4.
That's good. Now, let's talk about the big reveal. And again, after if you saw NXT TakeOver, you know this is really no surprise. But
right.
Mr. Shinsuke Nakamura is a SmackDown Live guy, and I think he is much better suited here than going to Raw.
Yes.
Because Vince won't know what the fuck to do with him anyway. We do believe that I think he doesn't pay attention as much on SmackDown, even though it is live. And I said this in NXT as well. You mentioned Adam Rose, Greeny. Being an epileptic weirdo on NXT was actually kind of cool because, you know, Nakamura is one of maybe the 10 or 15 best workers in the whole planet. Now, though, will this cool violin theme and his kind of weird seizure type way of coming to the ring, will that reflect to a big audience? Is being a great wrestler enough? And will the weird mannerisms hurt him in the long run? JD, I'll start with you.
I don't think being a great wrestler is enough anymore. And I'll go back to Roman Reigns to prove that. If just being a really good wrestler is enough to get fans to like you, why don't people like Roman Reigns? You know, but
right.
And the company has so many good wrestlers. But I do think the guy's got more charisma than anybody, you know, and he can't cut promos like anybody else can because he doesn't speak. He speaks English, but he doesn't speak great English. So you're not going to see a 10-minute promo from Nakamura. But I think he just has so much charisma that he's a great wrestler. Plus, he's just different. You know, you watch and he just stands out. He's just got that it factor that I think is going to make him successful wherever he goes, and whatever he's the type of guy, I think whatever they put him in, it's gonna work. And I'll say this too, because I loved him in New Japan. He was probably my favorite wrestler in the world at that point. And to compare the New Japan work that we've seen from him with the NXT work, I think he's actually like toned down a bit, and I don't want to say mailed in some of his matches, but I can't think of another description. So we haven't even seen like him at his best in ring, I don't think, in the WWE yet. So if you're not familiar with his other stuff, he can like take it to even another level. So I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, and I do think he has just this weird, like you said, he's odd, but odd in a compelling way, you know, and odd in a way that people will pay attention to him. I don't think that they can keep doing the dramatic long entrances every week. You know, I don't think they can have the violin player every week because then it won't feel special. Like, that's why the NXT takeovers are kind of cool, because they do those grand entrances for them. You can't do that every week on SmackDown. You just got to trust that he can do that on his own. And I think he can.
Yeah, that's kind of like with Finn and doing the demon thing. You can only do that, like, on pay-per-view.
Right.
Or, you know,
right.
Yeah, same thing, same thing.
Johnny, what do you think? What are your thoughts on what could be for Nakamura?
I think he's going to be fine. And to play off JD's point, like his work in New Japan, he really could take it to another level, which we really, you know, if we've watched New Japan, we've seen, but we haven't seen it in NXT. That being said, he needs the right first opponent. I don't know if it could be Miz or not. I think the guy who could really get him over is AJ, because, you know, if you've seen those two work before, you know what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm scared about, what the hell is a House of Horrors match going to be? Why do I feel it's going to be something like Abyss's Monster's Ball or something? Or are we just going to have four rooms full of maggots? Like, what the fuck are we going to get out of that? I am I am scared out of my wits as to what the hell we're going to get out of that.
They're bringing the Thunder Cave.
That's what I'm thinking. I think we're going to have the match from Halloween Havoc. Are we going to have Abdul the Butcher and the lever that wobbled back and forth that didn't really work? You know what I mean?
Or that uncensored cage match where it's like Hogan and Savage is like 18 guys.
Yes.
Just like 18 people in sheet masks.
Yes, because WCW didn't think it'd be offensive to name a wrestler Ultimate Solution. So, yeah. You know. Dipshits.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So, let's go broad brush here. Johnny, I'll start with you. With the week behind us, and everything's done, know our roster stuff, and I know, before we think about Monday and the whole shakeup thing, at the moment, is WWE thumbs up, middle, or down than it was before WrestleMania week started?
Thumbs up. You know, they some pretty good call-ups. I think we got rid of, not got rid of, but some of the storylines people weren't exactly happy with or kind of done with.
Mm-hmm.
It's fresh start. Other than Bray Orton in this House of Whatever match, mm-hmm. and everything else looks to be on a pretty interesting path.
Maybe it'll be a fun house match, kind of like when Crash Holly was defending the hardcore title, and you know, maybe Orton and Bray will fight in a ball pit or something. You know,
he's got a
Chuck E. Cheese
right
pizza will be
slide.
Thrown at him. Yeah,
maybe it'll be a House of Pancakes match. And it'll just be syrup everywhere.
I'm gonna smack you with a Colorado omelet. Oh God! All right, you JD. Thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, or thumbs down from now to last Wednesday when we did the preview show.
Last Wednesday. Well, you know me. I'm always optimistic about the company. So,
I thought that was only the women's revolution you were optimistic about.
I would say probably a tentative thumbs up, because there's some stuff that's always going to be a turnoff for me personally as a fan, like a three-hour Raw. There's just so much that I just can't watch it all. But I understand that that's not going to change, you know, so. So for me to like pout and demand change, that's stupid, and I'm not going to do that. But where I say a thumbs up is looking at how Mania was booked and looking at how Raw was done and looking at how SmackDown was done. And to even go back to last year, they fixed a lot of what they did wrong last year. Last year's Mania was terrible, so they fixed a lot of the spacing issues. Even too, like, something we didn't even talk about, look at all the part-timers that came in for WrestleMania this year. They all lost. Mm-hmm. Triple H lost his match. Shane lost his match. Undertaker lost his match. Goldberg, like, that's what we've always talked about wanting, right? Is that these part-timers need to put over the main roster guys so that they can become the stars. And they did that. Coming out of this, the guys that are on every week are the ones that got the wins on WrestleMania. And that's only a good thing. And even Jericho, I think we can maybe consider a part-timer moving forward, and he lost again. So I think the right people won. I think the right people debuted on the right shows. I think Nakamura should be on SmackDown. I think the Revival probably are best on Raw, especially if that's where you're going to put Hardys, and that's where tag teams are going to get more focus. So I think the call-ups were in the right place. I think Angle is going to be a great fit. And I'm totally happy with Stephanie being off TV for a while. And heck, dude, if it means Braun versus Brock, I'll give it a thumbs up.
Hell yeah. You know,
I would love to see that match. So, yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm not – it's not to the point where I'm hooked and I'm going to start watching every minute of 3 hours of Raw and every minute of SmackDown. I'm still at the point where DVRs are my friend, you know, and I'll watch the stuff that sounds good, and I rely heavily on, like, Brian Bayless's reviews and things like that. But, you know, that's fine. You can still think the product good and not watch every second of it, just because there's so much of it. So I'll say thumbs up, because I think everything that in the past I would be scratching my head wondering why they did it this way instead of that way, I think they did a lot of it right this time.
Okay. Greeny, thumbs up, middle, down?
Yeah, thumbs up, definitely. Couple of, you know, good examples why. We're getting Kurt on TV every week again. Rumors, you know, for the past couple of months was that the draft was going to be at the end of June and early July. Having it next week is perfect. They do need to shake up the rosters a little bit, and that's going to help out a lot, especially with the women's division on Raw, getting some better tag teams over on SmackDown to help out a little bit, because, I mean, it's basically the Usos and American Alpha. They're not even on TV every week anymore.
Right.
All right, guys, last question. This Monday is the – they're not even using the word draft. It is the Superstar Shakeup. Some things are just so dumb. Go around the horn. I'll start with you, Greeny. Give me one move you think could come totally out of left field.
Well, it's something that you and me were talking about earlier in the week, and that is splitting Enzo and Cass and putting Cass on SmackDown and putting him with Carmella and having them as heels. He needs to break out on his own right now, because Enzo the character is holding him back. I've a little bit more lenient with Enzo than people like Scott has, you know. but Enzo is just so... He's like a comedian with no new material at this point. And
right.
It's so bad. But yeah, Cass going to SmackDown, putting him with Carmella, and them being a heel duo is going to be a move out of left field, I think.
Being slightly better than me means you don't have a problem sharing oxygen with him. JD, give me one move you may think comes out of left field.
Out of left field? Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of who's where. Give me a second to think about this. Well, we didn't get to him. I could see the New Day split happening. Okay. And throw, I think they would take Xavier and put him on SmackDown and keep Big E on Raw. And I don't really care where Kofi goes.
I'd like to see him go to NXT. That would actually be kind of cool. Johnny, give me a move out of left field.
Roman Reigns to SmackDown.
I was thinking that one, but I didn't want to pull the trigger on it.
The only reason I say no is because he was mentioned way too much by Paul in the promo with Brock. Had they not mentioned him like three times in that promo before Donald Gibb came out, before Ogre came out, then I would have said yes. I don't know if that's going to happen.
But that could be their way to keep them apart, because we've all heard the rumor that that's what they want next year's WrestleMania to be.
That is entirely true.
You know, they keep him apart that way, and maybe Roman.
Does he keep
wins the Rumble in Philadelphia.
Does he? Fucking shit me. There better be a good Ring of Honor. Well, at least instead of that, I'll get NXT TakeOver, and maybe I'll get to see Bobby Roode still as NXT champion. And don't get me started on the NXT belts. I talked about that on the TakeOver show. Here's mine. I think Seth Rollins goes to SmackDown. Mm. I think all he was meant to do on Raw was beat Triple H, get that feud over with, and now I think he needs a fresh start.
Is Sami Zayn going to SmackDown? Is that even a left field thing, or is that something we kind of expect?
It's, well, I mean, he cut the promo with Kurt.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Not sure.
Well, kind of, Stephanie going off TV kind of kills the storyline that he sort of had.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Maybe they want to keep him and Owens apart for a while to refresh in that crew. I don't know. I don't know.
We all thought he was going to get drafted to SmackDown last year, so.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we know?
Exactly. My issue is I loved last year they did the draft pre-show, and then they did the draft while it was going on. They had a separate network. Like, that's what I'm hoping for. The only reason I'm kind of bummed about Monday night is I feel like they're throwing it away. Last year, remember, they had the big pre-show and then the draft. And while the draft was going on, they were doing a separate network show, and then they did a post. Like, that whole day was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're going to get robbed of that this year with kind of this throwaway thing on Monday. But anyway, guys, this has been a blast. Pleasure as always. Mr. Eklis, you know you're always welcome, brother. We'll have you back on soon. Now, I've burned you now with, what, like four shows in the last, like, in like 5 weeks? I guess I don't need you till September. Nah, you're always welcome back. You'll definitely be back. JD, when's the next Spank and Defile coming up?
Well, I have a group message. We're waiting.
So you're a group of Spanks.
Yeah. I don't want to give away who's going to be one of our guests, but I'm waiting for him to stop puking at the tailgate to collect himself and be on the show. So, but our next episode is going to veer away from wrestling. I think with all the WrestleMania talk and all the WrestleMania pods, I think people might be a little wrestling out. So for that show, we're going to step away from wrestling just for a month. Doug, we got a wrestling-related tangent planned.
Doug Christie. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were doing top 10 all-time kings. That was my number one. No, my number one will be Nate Archibald, but Tiny Archibald always. Greeny, always a pleasure, brother.
Yeah, man.
You're always here. And back to the normal schedule, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And, of course, returning next week will be the awesome gentleman of Clotheslines and Headlines. They'll get you through post-draft or post-whatever happens Monday. So they'll give you the lowdown next week. And we'll be back the week after. We'll probably start really talking Payback, which, again, will be on April 30th from the Shark Tank out in San Jose. I guess we already have a match set. Chris Jericho's already asked for his rematch with Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. I think that's pretty much it, though. So we'll go from there. For Johnny Reckless, for JD, for Greeny, I am Scott. You have been in the main event. WrestleMania is behind us. Let us look to the future, and that future is in 2 weeks. Enjoy. And since I'm going to be staying in his house, I won't say shut up, Reach. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your fate. I have a voice that is my savior, hates to love and loves to hate. I have a voice that has the knowledge and the power to rule your fate. I hear voices crying, I see heroes dying. Blood that's drying, I feel tension rising. I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me, they talk to me, they tell me things that I will do, they show me things I'll do to you, they talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, they talk to me. All the doctors are deceived.